Hey everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Engage to Flourish podcast. I'm your host, Damon, and today I'm very excited to welcome a good friend of mine to the show. He is the senior pastor at Cerritos Baptist Church, and Cerritos Baptist is the mother church to Catalyst, which was, they planted us about 16 years ago. And so welcome to the show, Eric Kakimoto. Welcome.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. Super humbled, excited to finally be here and to be with the Catalyst community in this way. So yeah, thank you so much.
I was just thinking about it. Man, should I address him as Pastor Eric? I'm just so used to you as being Eric. I mean, we grew up together. We went to high school, ministry at CBC together. So we've been together for a long time.
Yeah, I think Eric is fine for forever.
Okay, so Eric, what's something that God's been highlighting to you recently?
Great question. Yeah, this might sound cliche, but I think he's just continuing to show me how much I don't know and how he oftentimes loves to move in those arenas of things I don't know, things that, you know, maybe I turn the other way from. So I think just that showing me to let those things go, to let my worries go, fears go, surrendering, really just trusting him and however he wants to move, regardless of kind of my preconceptions, my preconceived notions, whatever that might be. So yeah, I think that's in this past season, which we'll talk about more. I think that's what he's really been highlighting in my life.
So mentioning that, the reason that we brought on Eric to the podcast is because I feel like Eric has a really cool story that God's been leading him in. I think it's been about a year since this whole thing started. I've been kind of following this story semi from the beginning, but it's been really cool to see God's hand at work in this whole story. So I just really wanted to have Eric come on. I think it's a really great, inspiring story of just the ways that God was leading him and the way that he had to kind of hear God's voice and all the different pieces that were involved. So Eric, can you kind of set up our story for us right now?
Yeah. I think just kind of the overarching theme to this, and I kind of just to kind of set it up is, you know, everything I'm about to share. And as we discuss today is, and the next time is, just how much I didn't want this, you know, and everything I share is not something that I pursued and I wanted. And I think it's all a testimony of what God has been doing and what he's done.
I think it's also kind of, as you were sharing with, at the beginning with what God's been highlighting to you recently, is just, it's cool to see your posture in all of this, right? It's not like, I don't want this and I'm not going to change, but it was, I don't want this, but if God wants this for me, then I'm open to it. And I think that's been a cool part of the journey for me to, from the outside, watching you as you've gone on this whole thing.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. And I hope, kind of as we navigate through this and, you know, I think my kind of hesitancy in sharing is like, I don't want it to sound like, oh, I did something really cool. You all should too. You know, but if what can get highlighted is how resistant, how hesitant, yet God, in God's graciousness and his faithfulness, you know, I think leading me down this past year, this experience, and obviously it goes further back than that, and hoping that, yeah, for those who are listening, you know, maybe there are things that you don't want to do right now. Maybe there are things where you just think to yourself, like, God would never want me to do that. He would never ask me to do that. And hopefully our conversation could just be a small sliver of encouragement of like, well, maybe that might be something God is going to lead you down, you know, so.
Yeah. So where do we start? Where do we start? I think it was a Sunday or it was a Monday and you had just preached and it was like kind of a long weekend and you were looking for some time to get away and have a little bit of a break. And so what do you do?
Yeah, so this is about, I think it's about exactly about a year ago. Monday, you know, one of the hobbies I picked up over pandemic is I got into mountain biking with Pastor Brandon at CBC, kind of got me into it. And this was a Monday and, you know, I just kind of dropped the kids off at school, headed down to the Fullerton Loop. And I just needed a day to just a morning to decompress, be by myself, just kind of a casual ride, and getting my bike out of the back of my minivan. And I hear this voice behind me, and it's this kid. It's like, "Excuse me, sir."
Like I was anticipating it was the voice of God, just this deep voice saying, "Eric."
Yeah, it's this kid. "Excuse me, sir, but would you like to ride together?" And I turn around and I see this, looks like a 10, 11-year-old, 12-year-old kid, Asian kid on his bike, and he's just smiling at me. And the first thing that goes through my mind is, no. Like, the last thing I want to do right now is to ride with someone I don't know, yet alone this kid. I just want to, like, you know, I just need time alone. I need to decompress. And so I come up with some excuse. I'm like, oh, you know, I'm just a beginner. I'm a COVID rider. I'm really slow. Like, no, you just go ahead and have a great time. I'll be good. And he's like, it's okay. I'll wait. And I'm like trying to think of every excuse I can think of, but, you know, nothing comes to mind. I'm like, all right, sure. Yeah, that'd be fine. And he goes, all right, let me go see if others want to ride with us. And I'm like, oh, this is just getting worse by the minute. And I see him go, you know, to a couple other cars, and he's asking people, I guess, the same question. And one other guy says yes. And now all of a sudden there's like three of us riding together on this trail. And, you know, we start riding, and after about a couple minutes, the other guy, he kind of like comes up with an excuse, and he books it. So now it's just the two of us. You know, we're riding together, and, you know, kind of early on, I begin to notice that this kid has, you know, he's riding an older bike. Mm-hmm. He's having problems with it. Like, his seat keeps, you know, getting loose. His chain keeps falling off. And, you know, he's just struggling, but he's having fun. He's smiling. He's like talkative. And just to be clear, like, he's a really bright kid, you know. Mm. But at the time, I'm just like, oh, how do I get out of this? Like, I do not want to spend the next hour and a half, you know, just kind of, and especially if he has bike problems and we're having to stop every 5-10 minutes for him to fix something. So we're riding, and, you know, at some point, you know, we're kind of chatting, and, you know, he's fixing his bike, and I'm like, okay, this kid, like, he enjoys riding his bike, and he's talkative, and at some point, I stop and ask him, like, hey, what kind of bike do you have? And he goes, oh, it's a 2014 Giant Talon, you know. And the minute he said that, it kind of caught my attention, only because at that time in my possession was a fairly brand new 2021 Giant Talon that I bought for one of my daughters, but you know, it was too big for her. Mm. So I had just like taken pictures of it, and the plan was to post it on OfferUp that day when I got home to try to sell it, and, you know, hopefully recoup some of the cost that I got when I bought it. But as soon as he said that he had a 2014 or whatever Giant Talon, you know, this thought enters my mind, like, would you give that kid your bike? Mm. My first thought was, no. Like, no. Like, I don't even want to be riding with this kid. Like, why would I want to give him, you know, a bike? I don't even know this kid, you know, and I want to sell it and, you know, hopefully get $600-$700 for this bike. But, you know, as we're riding, that question just kind of keeps, you know, I can't shake it. Mm. You know, like, would you give this kid your bike? And I'm kind of like arguing with myself, and I'm like, God, is this you? Like, are you asking me to give this kid my bike? And I'm just kind of wrestling with it, and I kind of come up, you know, in my mind, I'm like, well, I can't make this decision on my own. Like, that's a big financial decision. I need to talk to Amber, you know, my wife. I can't just give away $600. Like, this is like a, you know, we are one flesh. We need to make a decision together. Like, who am I to like just give this kid a bike? So I just kind of settle in my mind, like, okay, well, I'll go home and I'll talk to Amber.
Hoping that she's going to say no, right?
Yeah. She'll be the bad cop in this one.
Yeah. God, it's not me. I wanted to give the bike to the kid, but
yeah, like I totally would have given it right then. But so we, you know, we finish off the ride, and you know, it was fun, and you know, like I said, he's a great kid. You know, we're leaving. He's like, hey, let's can I get your number? Let's do it again sometime. Let's ride sometime. And I'm like, oh yeah, okay, yeah, that'd be cool. And he takes a selfie, and you know, he gets my number, and we go our separate ways. Yeah, so one part I left out, which was, is, you know, he was pretty young. Like at first I wasn't sure whether he was like college or not because it's a Monday.
Yeah.
You know? So I'm like, don't you got school? Like, he's like, no, like I homeschool, you know? So I'm like, how old are you? You know, he's like, oh, I'm 13, you know? And, how'd you get here? Where do you live? And, you know, he lives kind of like, I think, Fullerton Bray area. So he's riding by himself, kind of just independent, kind of confident.
Like, where's this kid's parents at?
Yeah. You know, and just, oh my gosh, he's younger than I thought, you know? So anyways, I get home and, you know, Amber's like, oh, how was the bike ride? And I'm like, oh, it was pretty interesting. And I kind of briefly describe what happened. And I don't even tell her about, you know, I just say, hey, I was this kid. I went riding. He's, you know, pretty young. He's 13. He homeschools. You know, I tried to shake him, but I couldn't. And he had this like really old bike, but he loved bike riding. And, you know, it was cool to see. And the first thing Amber says is, oh, great. So I guess we're giving him our bike.
Wait, so you didn't even tell her about, like, you talked to him about what kind of bike it was and any of that?
No, I told her about, like, oh, I asked him what kind of bike. And I was crazy. He has the same bike we do. But I didn't tell her anything about the thought that entered my mind about giving this kid our bike. And the first thing she was like, oh, great, I guess we're giving him our bike. I was like, really? And you'd be okay with that? And then I was like, because this is what kind of the thought that entered my mind. And she was like, yeah, you know, go ahead. And
you're like, dang it, I wanted her to say no.
Yeah, so she was a lot faster in wanting to give it than I was. And then, so then after that, okay, I'm like, okay, well, can't use that excuse anymore. But now I'm like, I don't even know how to contact this kid, right? So, okay, like, how do I even give him this bike if I can't, but I don't know how to reach him, and I'm not going to go sit there at the park and just wait for him to show up again.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, well, if he contacts me, right, you can just see my hesitancy here. If he contacts me, then I'll, you know, give him the bike. And 1 hour later, he texts, sends me the selfie that he took. He's like, hey, you know, thanks for riding. Let's do it again sometime. So now I'm like, okay, you know, I'm out of excuses. So I text him back, say, hey, you know, I have this 2021 Giant Talon. Here's a picture of it. Do you want it? And obviously he's like, yeah. Oh, are you sure? Really? That'd be amazing. And I'm like, okay, but I need to talk to your parents, you know, because, yeah, I can't be this like 41-year-old guy giving a 13-year-old kid a bike just, you know, secretly. So I'm like, I need to talk to your parents. And he's like, no, like my parents said, it's fine. I'm like, no, I need to talk to your parents. So, you know, I get on the phone with his dad and I'm like, you know, it's kind of hard to explain, right? I'm like, hey, I met your son at the park. And just to be clear, he came up to me, you know, like I didn't, you know, and I got this bike and blah, 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 like, and I'd like to give it to him, you know, and he's a great kid and he loves to ride and I'd love to give it to him. He's like, okay. And I can tell he's a little bit guarded here and wondering. So it's like, well, let's meet at the park tomorrow. So we meet the next day at the park and, you know, I give him the bike and I'm kind of talking to dad and I could tell he's just a little bit suspicious, right? Like, why is this guy giving my kid a bike? So I'm like, yeah, so we were riding and, you know, great kid. And, you know, I work at a church. I didn't know how to say it, right? Yeah. Like I'm a pastor and I heard God told me. So I was like, oh, I work at a church. And he goes, wait, are you a pastor? You know, and I'm like, yeah, I'm a pastor. And he's like, oh, no wonder. Like, we thought you were a weirdo. You know?
You're like, I felt like a weirdo too.
Yeah. I was like, oh, definitely, you know. So all of a sudden he runs back to his car and he brings this binder And he begins to show me information about this missions organization that he's a part of called InterCP. And yeah, I don't know a lot about a whole lot of missions organizations. You know, we've all heard of some, right, over the years and stuff. And I've never heard of this one. I didn't know anything about it. But he begins to tell me about it. And then he pulls out his phone and he begins to show me pictures of his family and him. And, you know, I don't remember exactly all the details, but it's like, oh, here's a picture. Here's where I went to, you know, like Turkey this summer. And my wife, this is her in Jordan. And this is my 14-year-old in Kazakhstan. And this is my 13-year-old, the one you're riding with. He's in Uzbekistan. And here's my 7-year-old. My 7-year-old, and he went on a team, right? And I'm like, okay, I don't know anything about this organization. I don't know anything about what he's telling me about, but this is a family that's living it. And I remember feeling that, like, I can't deny that they're living it, you know? And he's telling me about this, like, this 9-week missions course that they offer and they do. And all of a sudden he looks at me and he's like, you should go. You should go. And I, you know, and in my mind, I'm like, I'm just trying to give you a bike. Like, I'm trying to do my good deed for the year. And now all of a sudden you're putting on me to go overseas, to go to the Middle East on missions. And I'm like, you know, I don't even know where to begin. You know, like, oh, that sounds great, but I don't even know where to begin. He goes, take vision school. You know, like, oh, what's vision school? And he's like, oh, it's a 9-week course. You take a 9-week course on world missions called vision school. And then you go. And I'm like, all right. When does it even start? You know, like, when is this class? And he's shuffling through his papers and he's like, oh, it starts this Wednesday.
Class starts, this is Tuesday, right?
It's Monday. Oh no, this Tuesday. Yeah, this Tuesday, right? Because it's the next day. He goes, yeah, it's this week. It's this Wednesday. Like, oh, shoot. Where is it? You know, where is this class? You know, like, where do you guys offer it? And he's shuffling through his papers. He goes, La Palma. And this church that it's at is two minutes from my house. Right? So, you know, I get the information and, you know, I'm walking away and we go our separate ways and I'm walking and I'm just like, God, what just happened? You know,
What was that debrief process like?
You know, I think it was like, what just happened? I just wanted to give this kid a bike. I felt like that's what you wanted me to do. And now all of a sudden there's this opportunity, this invitation, right? To, you know, and I just felt like God was saying, like, just go to one class, you know, that Wednesday in La Palma. One class. And I think because of just the way that it all went down, you know, I was okay. Like, I don't know what's going on here. I don't know what just happened, but I can go to one class. You know? And that was the start kind of that journey.
And so, okay. So you went to that one class, which it seems like it sprouted something in you. Cause then you continued on for the rest of the 9 classes. Right. And what was that like? What was that experience of going to the class like?
Yeah, so I ended up going to that one class. And basically, the first class is like an intro class, and everyone's welcome to come check it out. And then you got to decide whether you want to register for the other weeks. And about halfway through, I was like, I don't know if I'm going to come every week, but I'm going to register. So I registered. I went to the second week. Long story short, I couldn't finish it. Like just the calendar. So I kind of postponed it to the spring. So springtime came around, picked up again. I started going back to the class. And probably the best way to describe it is I went to the class with kind of that, okay, God, I'll just go to this one class. I have no desire to go to the Middle East. And even, I mean, if I'm honest with you, just overseas missions in general, theologically, I'm all for it. You know, I've gone to Japan once back in, I think, 2012. But for the most part, I think, I don't know if I would verbalize it, but deep inside, I was kind of like, it's not really for me. You know, so that's missions in general, you know, Middle East. So like, I have no desire to go. And as I went week by week, you know, I think towards the end, it was like, I want to go. Mm. You know, that's probably the best way to kind of just summarize that journey of God working on my heart from like, I have no desire to go to like, I want to go.
Okay. So for you, as you're trying to navigate this whole thing from, I don't want to go to now I do, there's something I do want to go, but then what was it like to make the decision to say, hey, I'm actually going to go? Cause I know that that's a big step there too, from I kind of want to go to, oh, I'm going to go. What was that like for you?
Yeah. So I think, the course is really, you know, it's not too different than any kind of missions course that you would take, you know, perspectives kind of class. So the things that you learn, it's nothing like that I never heard before, mm-hmm. you know, and just week to week, you're just reminded of things like the Great Commission, and you're reminded of kind of God's plan for reaching the unreached and taking the gospel to all nations. And so you're just kind of, you know, as we're walking through this and the speakers that are coming in, they're all missionaries who are out on the field in the Middle East that they bring back, you know? So I think you're hearing their stories, hearing about the culture of the people, what it's like, so all those things are kind of beginning to open my eyes or just reminding me, convicting me of like, oh yeah, like these are things that we're called to do. This is what the church is for and those things. But as we were journeying along, there was one lecture where, they talked about kind of the history of missions and kind of the all those who sacrificed their life for missions, right? Martyrs in the past and different missionaries. And I think that was a big one for me because, you know, one, just a reminder of like, oh yeah, like the gospel kingdom is an invitation of like surrendering everything, you know, and we're called to take up our cross daily. And I think as I was in there, that the question, you know, I think for me that, you know, that I felt God kind of present to me was like, would you be willing to sacrifice your life, you know, for the gospel, right? And that was a heavy one for me.
Yeah.
You know, just to wrestle with of like, yeah, I mean, I know theologically answers yes, and we've known that for, you know, we've always known that. We preach it and we talk about it, but kind of just practically in that moment, the idea of going somewhere, like, would I be willing to? And, you know, I think it wasn't like I could just confidently be like, yeah, of course, but, you know, I think in that moment saying like, yeah, like I want to be willing, but you got to help me. And, you know, and I think in that kind of being able to like surrender that, like, God, okay, like, yeah, if that is your will for me, yeah, like I might be hesitant, but I'd be willing to, you know? I don't say this in kind of a way of like, of course, that's what, you know, like sign me up first to go, like, but to kind of like, I felt like God was just placing that, and I had to really wrestle with it. And even as I say it now, it's like a yes, but God, you need to help me.
Yeah.
Be a yes, you know? So, but I felt like kind of being able to surrender that and say, hey, God, yeah, if that's what you want and that's your plan for me, and if, you know, you want to use my life to plant seeds somewhere else, but the cost is my life, then like, okay, you know? And, so I think that was like the tipping point where at that point it was then easier to be like, okay, I'm going.
Okay. So if you haven't guessed by now, Eric did go on a trip to, and that's what our second episode is going to be about. We're going to talk about what actually happened on his trip. And so what I wanted this episode to be about was just really his journey leading up to it, because I thought it was such a cool story of where he was comfortable, and then just this whole God journey of him having to wrestle with different things that he was not comfortable with, kind of like he shared the hesitation to even think about some of these things. Like at the beginning, he didn't even want to ride with the kid, but he went from wanting a day off and relaxing mountain bike ride to now making this decision to go on a missions trip to of all places. It was just such a cool journey. And so that's what I wanted us to kind of walk through, his journey of what were the things that he was wrestling with? What are some of the things that God is showing him along the way? And so at this point, he's ready to say yes for himself. Eric is ready to say, I would be willing to, or I want to be willing to give up my life. So what was that conversation like with Amber? Because you'd shared with me that, yeah, I might be willing to be in that place where I'm willing to give up my life, but then you got to have that conversation with your family. How did that conversation go?
It was good in a sense of Amber wasn't worried, you know, I remember telling my kids, you know, hey, this is kind of a place that, you know, I'm thinking about going, and, you know, they don't know a lot. Right. But even my younger one, she's, you know, 13, and she was like, isn't it dangerous? Mm. You know, I think there's kind of that thought that the Middle East in general is dangerous.
I mean, for a lot of us, when I think of, oh, I already said it earlier. I guess we can bleep it out. But yeah, when I think of Middle East and some of those countries, especially the one that you went to, it brings me back to, you know, 9/11 and things like that, and just some of those memories and thinking that it is a dangerous place. So it's good that they're growing up in a world where that's not the first thing that they immediately jump to.
Yeah. So sorry, I asked Damon not to share the name of the place. I think.
So hopefully by now it's gotten bleeped out.
Yeah. But I think it's just for, they just tell us just for like things that are in the media that are floating around. So if you ask Damon where I went, he could happily tell you, but just for the sake of the podcast, yeah, we'll bleep that part out. But yeah, I think Amber, you know, I think she's kind of had her journeys with missions, and I think she understands like the call, and I think she could see how God was like working in me. So she was, she was really supportive. And, you know, when I told her, she was kind of like, yeah, I think you should go, you know? So that was kind of like, are you trying to get rid of me? But she was really supportive. So that definitely helped in terms of giving me the push and the encouragement to really lean into it.
Okay. So that's where we're going to end this episode, is we're going to end with Eric's decision and his family's decision to say, hey, let's go on this trip to the Middle East to do some missions. So for our next episode, we're actually going to dive into Eric sharing his experience on this trip. To me, it was such an amazing trip. I just wanted him originally to come on just to share the journey leading up to the trip. But as he was sharing with me previously, some of the things that the missions organization had him do and some of the ways that they have the missionaries live out the Great Commission, it was just so encouraging and such an awesome story that I was like, oh, we have to do it justice. We have to do this trip justice. We can't just try to cram it in together with the lead up. So check out the next episode where Eric is going to share about what actually happened on the trip. So thanks for this first one, Eric.
Oh, you're welcome. Yeah, thanks for having me.
Okay,
looking forward to the next one.
So until next time, may you experience God's heart for you to flourish in every season. Thanks for listening to the Engage to Flourish podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on Spotify, Apple, or Google Podcasts. You can check out more of our content on our YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook pages by searching for Catalyst Christian Community. If you want to check out our church in person, we meet every Sunday at 10 a.m. at Stanford Middle School in Long Beach. We'd love for you to come out and experience being a part of our church family.